Hello out there and welcome to your next mission video podcast. How do I get my veterans benefits is the question we get asked the most. And that goes hand in hand with planning for our transition out of the service. On today's show, we welcome back one of the country's leading experts to talk about veterans benefits, transition, veterans employment, and a lot more. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Video Podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, to VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to all of our veterans, service members, and families for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, and Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision and USAA, together they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and I say it every week, we love them too. As I mentioned, we're going to talk with one of the country's foremost experts of all things transition, a subject I believe we just can't get enough of. And I'm happy to bring back on the show Dr. Paul R. Lawrence, businessman, author, passionate veteran advocate, and former undersecretary for benefits at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. And I can't thank you enough for coming back on the show.
Hey, no, it's great to be with you, Sergeant Major. I think this is our third visit, so happy to talk transition and benefits.
I think it's more than that. I think it's like our fifth or sixth. Didn't we do some? Never mind. I can't remember. You know, anyway, you've already told the audience, you know, and hopefully got some more members that are watching. But before we even get started, would you like to tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Oh, sure. So let's see. I was an Army veteran. I'm an Army veteran. Served in the Army for 3 years to fulfill my ROTC requirement. I was a finance officer, right? The buck starts here. That was the running joke. But I was airborne qualified. I did real military stuff too. So then I got out. Most of my life was in the private sector. As you noted, I was a consultant. And then from 2018 to 2021, I served in the VA as the undersecretary for benefits. So I was in charge of all the benefits that we're going to talk about. And I actually had to know how they're administered, which is why I sort of go around writing and talking about it so veterans can get the right information so they can access these benefits that they've earned to help them, you know, continue to pursue their American dream.
Well, I want to start out by saying I know you're real motivated to doing all you can to help our veterans and families. And I certainly, as this old veteran, I appreciate all that you're doing. Sir, let's start out our discussion around veterans benefits and what the service members are asking about this, that, you know, in the current environment. What do they want to know?
Well, basically, they want to know, how do I get my benefits? What's available to me? And what do I have to make sure that I can get them, right? Because they've often talked to a friend and said, oh, it's a real hassle. So what I remind everybody is, first, make sure you learn about your benefits. You could buy the book I've written, Veterans Benefits for You. You can buy other books. You can go on va.gov. But you've got to learn about these benefits because they're tremendously powerful. Then be sure and keep all the important military records you will need. You'll need your DD-214. If you're going to claim a disability compensation, you'll need your medical records. You'll need a whole bunch of records. So make sure you keep those. And finally, if you do need help, don't forget the veteran service organizations will provide you no-cost help. Your state, and now I even notice you're getting into this business with VCS, right?
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of folks who can help you for free. At no cost. So again, records, awareness, and assistance.
You know what I've thought this for a long time. I've said it a whole lot here lately. Is I think we ought to figure out a way to go back into all the services and start educating people about their benefits and entitlements when they first come in. And say, you know, a few hours a year or something. And we just don't do enough. Because I got to be honest with you. When people get out of the service, they don't know much about their benefits, unless it's changed a little bit. Maybe it has. I don't know. But my impression is they don't know anything. And they really start getting into the benefits is when they start applying for disability. And they're discouraged about the fact they don't get 100% or 75% or 60%. And then they start saying the system's all screwed up. Do you find that to be the case?
Well, I definitely think there's a need for education, but I sort of understand the dilemma. As you're entering the military, there's so much you have to learn about mm-hmm. the culture and your skills and your job, right? Then, of course, as you're getting out, you just want to get out, so you don't listen and tap. We don't listen to tap. So you're right. The first time people encounter the benefits is when they're applying. And I do think that's unfortunate, which is part why I wrote the book, to help people understand. But yeah, I think you've nailed it. It's a big challenge.
Yeah. What should service members' priorities be as they, you know, as their families prepare for transition when it comes to veterans' benefits? To transition out, what do they need to look at?
Well, of course, it's really important you get a job, right? So that's obviously what they need. They need to focus on. So let's assume they figure that one out. They've listened to all the folks giving them good advice about transition, right? But I would remind them about, owning a home. You want to live in a great community. So one of the most powerful benefits is the home loan guarantee, right? Ability to purchase a home with no money down. And their education benefits. Perhaps they've completed all their education, but if they haven't, don't forget the GI Bill. Between the home loan and the GI Bill, those are two things that can really change your life. So I would encourage, don't forget those two benefits.
Yeah. What you're talking, I'm thinking here, one of the other things, my wife probably knows more about the benefits than I do. And I think maybe here you go, going back to the same thing. Maybe we ought to put something on. I guess the question, do we have something online? You can like learn about your educational benefits online?
Oh, there's little snippets, right? The VA has little videos and the like. But of course, everything is all person dependent, so you can learn generally about it, but you'll inevitably have a question: how do I use this given my situation? And that's where the help really comes in.
Yeah, there's not one place that I can go to and get all the answers to all the information that I need. Maybe there should be.
No.
Yeah. Would that be a good idea to have one stop shopping somewhere? I mean, I don't know.
Well, probably would be, but it's really complex, right? Everybody has a little bit of a different situation, so it's hard to write through every different variation.
Yeah. Sir, this is a great discussion. I have a lot more questions but first we need to take a quick break, and I'll be right back. Stop. Don't go anywhere. This is Your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. If you're enjoying this discussion, I know that you are, because we're talking about benefits and entitlements of our veterans and families, and it's important for you to learn about them before you ever get out of the service. But please, like us, click on that subscribe button below, and be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after a word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. And Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Veteran Benefits Transition with Paul R. Lawrence, Dr. Paul R. Lawrence, I want to figure that, business, author, passionate veteran advocate, and former Undersecretary for Benefits at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Before we get back to our discussion, I'd like to take a few seconds to tell you about a new program we're excited about called Your Next Mission VCS, a Veterans Community Support Program. We'll provide personalized one-on-one support to address the unique needs within our veteran community, facilitate through our many partnerships with other veteran service organizations. Please check us out at yournextmission.org/VCS and enroll to participate today. Remember, we want to help you with whatever issues you and your family are facing, so please, please reach out to us. Sir, in this segment, I'd like to discuss veterans' employment, even though the veteran unemployment rate may be, I guess it's 2.9%. Would you tell us why that could be a little bit misleading?
Sure. All the focus on the rate takes away from the real important number, which is the number of veterans employed. So let me explain. You know how rates are calculated. Mm-hmm. You take the number of veterans who are employed and divide it by folks who are either working or looking for a job. So let's do a simple example. 5 veterans unemployed. There's 100 veterans working or looking for a job. 5 divided by 100 is 5%. But now notice what happens when you change the math a little bit. Let's say 2 veterans get discouraged and they don't want to work. They say, I'm tired of looking for a job. I'm discouraged. Well, now they do the same survey. It's 3 veterans unemployed because it only counts if you're looking for a job. And now the labor force is 98. Well, if you divide 98 into 3, you get 3%. So you can see the fraction enables the rate to be manipulated. As veterans drop out of the labor force, the unemployment rate actually gets better. But what really matters is the number of veterans who have jobs. The rate is misleading. The rate can be low. But right now, for example, while we're talking, last survey says there's 8 million veterans who are working. But 4 years ago, in November of 2019, there were 9 million veterans working. So I would argue the state of veteran employment is actually going in the wrong direction, right? The unemployment rate is low, but the number of veterans who are working is too low.
Yeah.
All right. We've had people drop out of the labor force. We don't know what they're doing. There needs to be more research on this. But the number we should be looking at is how many veterans are actually working. Because as you know, a job gives meaning and purpose, you know, in addition to income, which pays our expenses, and also connectivity. And we've talked before about, you know, some of the negative things that happens when veterans aren't connected. Mm-hmm. So I think a job is a very, very powerful thing for so many reasons. And again, I encourage everybody to look at the number of veterans employed and let's figure out how we get, you know, that number increased.
Yeah. Do you think I know I've talked to a lot of people that sort of wait to the last minute to find employment, you know, versus starting that 2-year period out where they start that transition process and all that stuff. Do you think we're doing any better on that as far as our veterans, as far as
working? Well, I think it's a little bit of a mixed message. Yeah. I think the folks who are good at life in general start early and they have lots of choices. The folks who are not, you know, scramble at the last minute and, you know, take a job because they have to. And then shortly thereafter, they look for another job and repeat it over again. So we definitely have that problem. But what I worry about is the folks who, you know, after they get out of the military, just kind of drop out, right? Yeah. They're not even looking for a job. There's a term called NEETs, not in employment, education, or training. Like, what are they doing, right? And so we've got to get these folks back into the labor force and get them working because it's good for the individual, but it's good for our country. If we had 1 million more veterans working, our gross, you know, domestic product would be larger. Yeah. This would be good for our country as a whole.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things, as you're talking, I'm thinking about, you know, we have, the number always changes about veterans, homeless veterans, and veterans that are incarcerated, and also veterans that have taken their life to suicide. And this really, as you talk, I think this is all tied together. If they're working, they're active, they're doing stuff, or if they go home and sit on their backside and not do anything, then they're not involved. They're not, you know, not thinking about anything that they need to do. And we need to know more about that. I don't know I wish there was a way to get better checks and balances when somebody maybe got out of the service. You know, I got out of the service and maybe within the first year, the government has to check and see what I'm doing or something. I don't know. But
well, actually, I actually have an interesting idea, which is I think we should change the TAP program and make it much more employment based. A year out, you should have a counselor or a caseworker, and the job should be to make sure the veteran does, in fact, have a job on day one when they become a veteran.
No.
And then instead of going through a whole array of different information, you would say, hey, I want to be a trucker. They would have people who could help you do that. You know, hey, I want to do this. I want to do that. It would really help you get employed. And the goal would be to get every veteran employed on day one as a veteran.
Yeah, let me add to that. I thought of that idea years ago. No, I didn't. The fact of the matter, I did come up with an idea years ago. I said, you know, we have, I don't know the number, what, 150 to 200,000 people getting out of the service every year, something like that. And so I went to somebody one time and says, well, now we have a lot of really talented people that are getting out. And we have all these government jobs. So why don't we list these government jobs and say, oh, Tilly's getting out in a year. What does Tilly need to do to qualify for that government job? and sort of prepare me or mentor me to get that job. So when I walk out, I walk into a government job. Because really, quite frankly, I don't know if it's still true. Years ago, I heard that the people that are working, they're getting older and older. We need to make sure that we get some new blood in there and do some stuff. But we have a valuable asset with our military that we just don't use. We train them, get them going in the right direction, and shoo, throw them out. Let them do something out.
I think that's a really good suggestion, too. Whatever the job is, you know, the veteran could choose what's best for him or her. But I do think we have to explain to them, after you leave the military, you know, one of the primary things you'd be focused on is getting a job.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, for me now, it goes back to just waiting and not starting at the right time. How do we get more veterans back into the job market? I mean,
first we have to encourage them. So you have a big voice, right? You have followers and viewers. We should encourage folks, you know, don't let your buddies slip into the couch, as you point out, because it's very hard to come out. We need to make sure we get them ready when they go interview. I mean, as much as we like companies to be prepared for military and veteran, they often aren't. So we have to tell veterans, you got to look like where you're going. So, you know, you've got to be prepared. Your resume has to reflect the civilian language, not just military terminology. Yeah. And we really have to encourage companies. I mean, they can do more. The veterans and military groups in the companies can be better advocates for hiring veterans. So again, I just think we need a constant reminder that, you know, we really want our veterans to be hired. We appreciate their service. And part of that, you know, they do make great employees, by the way. When you look at all the surveys, they do really, really well. So I just think it's a continuous sort of process of telling everybody, you know, veterans need to be employed.
I think the other thing, we need to go out and educate corporate America about what veterans bring to the market. You know, I worked for a couple of companies that said, come in and give classes about, you know, what the Army does. Of course, I can't talk about it either, but I talked about the Army. We had the Navy, the Marine Corps. So we need to tell them, corporate America what veterans bring to the table. A lot of times, I think they're concerned because they hear about post-traumatic stress and TBI and all the rest of this stuff, and they're concerned about hiring veterans. But I think we need to do a better job about marketing or telling our corporate America anyway.
Well, right. And I think it's not just broadly corporate America. I think we have to figure out, have to crack the code with the human resource departments and the hiring, the hiring folks, right? So I think I've seen a lot of examples where the CEO and the senior leaders are veterans, and they say, we're all in, and they turn it over to their team. And now their team are very junior and they're not veterans and they have no clue, right? And so somehow there has to be sort of a better connect between what you aspire to be, super great military friendly company, and what your team is actually doing, which is ignoring them because the resumes are too hard to understand.
Yeah, and we get off this, but this is a great subject to talk about. Here's the other thing I think. You have a guy or gal that gets out of, after 20 years, maybe in there, probably in their 30s, 36, 37 years old, and goes to find a job, and they maybe have to start at the bottom level. You know what I'm talking about? We have to find a better way to sort of slide them in at the middle level, if we could do that. I'm not sure we could or we couldn't.
Well, I do think it's in the preparation, right? Explaining your resume and then, you know, making sure they know how to talk about their experience. You're right, because you have 20 years of experience. If you've done nothing, you've been in charge of teams, you've dealt with ambiguity, you know, you've been mission focused. Those are valuable skills. You shouldn't start at the bottom. So it could be a little bit onus on us and the veterans, the service members, being able to explain what they did and how it crosswalks to a civilian job.
Yeah. Last thing, and I'll get off this subject, but this is such an important subject to me, is that you talked about resumes. Have two resumes. I always said, have a generic civilian resume, also have a military resume. But you're right about it. And don't use acronyms. Don't use it because it confuses everybody. And get a mentor, somebody that looks at that resume and sort of guides you through that process. But that's some great advice, sir. I appreciate that. You know, another veteran benefit that needs some discussion is the GI Bill. You recently gave a presentation about the modernization of the veterans benefits. Would you talk about that?
Sure. So I think it's important to understand that a lot of the benefits that we now have sort of came from the original GI Bill, the 1944 law that sets in motion that, right? The home loan guarantee, as well as the education. And so if you go back and think about that period of time, you know, by and large, our country hadn't gone to college. So the notion that, hey, every service member gets the equivalent of a free university education, a free college education, was a really big deal in the 40s, right? But over time, we know that The job market has changed. There's different ways you can do things. And it's not clear that everybody wants to go to college or should go to college, right? Yeah. There's a lot of opportunities. So what I did is some math, right? So let's kind of figure out what the GI Bill is really worth, right? It's the equivalent of 4 years at a state university. So if we value that about $30,000 a year, that's like $120,000. And then, as you know, you get a monthly housing allowance, right? A payment every month while you're in school. You're in school 36 months. Let's make it $2,000. It's about $72,000. So add it all up, let's call it $200,000. So we're willing to spend on a service member who serves honorably $200,000 to get them educated. And of course, that makes sense, right? Great education, better job, higher pay, more pursuit of your dream, your American dream, right? All makes sense. But what about if you don't want to go to college, right? I'd rather start a business. Either I've gone to college before I went in the military, or it's just not for me. I want to be an entrepreneur, okay? Well, instead of spending $200,000, which we would have spent if you'd gone to college, what if we said, why don't we give you some seed money to start your business? Let's give you $50,000, so it's kind of a savings, and you'll start your own business. You know, you'll be successful, hopefully, have a great income, again, pursue your American dream. So I think there's another, we need to think about another path. Finally, the third thing I pointed out was, what about somebody says, I don't want to go to college, I don't want to start my own business, I'm pretty good where I am, I'll find a job on my own. They'd have no access to the GI Bill, right? I didn't go to college, I don't want anything. So what if we said for something like that, I tell you what, long run, here's what we'll do. We'll take a sum of money. I just made up $100,000 because it's still less than the $200,000 it would have paid if you went to the GI Bill and went to college. And we'll put that in something what I call the Veterans Retirement Account. It'll be invested. You can't touch it until you're 65, okay? Mm-hmm. So it could be 50 years from now. It could be 20 years if you come out, as you say, after 20 years. And hopefully that'll be invested carefully and safely. When you wake up some 40 years from now, it could be worth $1 million. And that will give you a lot of financial security in the last part of your life. So again, help you, you know, pursue your dreams later on. So I do think we need to start to think about, is college for everybody? Are there other ways to go about it? A business, whatever. And could we spend that money differently that would help veterans in something that's perhaps more appropriate to their aspirations?
Yeah. So man, this, I love talking to you, because every time I talk to you, I get so many great ideas about things I need to do or just helping people with. And so during the next segment, I'd like to talk about some fresh ideas to provide support for those who don't want to go to college, which you're just talking about. So, but first, as always, we got to tell them, a quick break, so don't go anywhere. Now, here's a word from two more of the organizations that helped make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
And USAA.
Oh. A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Dr. Paul R. Lawrence, businessman, author, passionate veteran, advocate, and a former Undersecretary for Benefits at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Remember, this is your show. We know there are so many issues that directly affect you, and we want to address each and every one of them. So please, I've said it before, reach out to me. Tell me what topics you'd like us to cover. You can call or text me at 844-424-113 or send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org, and I'll actually reach back out to you. Sir, before the break, you talked about a lot of great ideas to help veterans who don't want to attend college. Do you want to dig into that a little bit deeper? Is there anything else you want to add to that?
Well, I guess the one thing that's really new in probably the last 3 or 4 years is the use of certificates to demonstrate that you have mastered a subject. So, for example, you study something for 3-ish months, you take a test, and you say, hey, I'm actually pretty skilled at this. You can use this to help augment your job situation. So, for example, a lot of people get a certificate in project management demonstrating to the employer, hey, I've mastered the skills. Cybersecurity is so hot right now, but you don't have to go to college for that. You can get some certificates. And if veterans simply Google cybersecurity on the internet, mm-hmm. they'll find lots of places that will train veterans for free because the pipeline is so scarce for people who understand the subject. So I tell everybody, look at certificates and credentials, see if there aren't some in there that'll help you get a better job or maybe help you at promotion time shine over your civilian buddy. So again, often all covered by the GI Bill. So take advantage of short periods of education that can really improve your capabilities and help your job situation.
Yeah, the big thing is make sure you prepare to get out of the service. A lot of people, again, I don't think percentages nowadays, but a lot of people just wait to the last second and then try to find employment. If you wait to the last minute for the people to listen, it could take you 6 months to a year to find a job. And that's really tough on them. And it affects, again, it affects the family and everything else, right. And relationships and all the negative things that can happen too. You have a very important election. I don't want to get into politics too much here, but a very important election coming up in the country. And I want to talk about the importance of encouraging all veterans and service members to be sure that they vote. Would you talk about that for just a second?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's so ironic you bring this up, Sergeant Major, because I remind everybody of what happened when we got sworn in. Raise your right hand. People tend to forget, but we swore to uphold and protect the Constitution. And one of the really powerful things about the Constitution, it lays out some of the cool features of what it is to be American. And as you know from your world travels, one of the things that makes us pretty special is we get to select our leaders by voting. Mm-hmm. And this isn't done everywhere. So this is a really important feature. You're right. So later in November, we'll vote for president, Congress, and in some state, our senators, right? So we get to choose the most important people who run our government. And so I tell everybody, say, listen, veterans, you know, fulfill this obligation that you took, that you talked about when you signed up to join the military, and vote. Register, because sometimes you got to do this early, and then show up to vote. And if you're new to this, take a buddy with you, because chances are he or she's never done this either. And, you know, be informed, but make sure you vote, because it's very, very important. We participate and what I think is just a very, very special feature about being an American.
Yeah, I think the other thing, I agree 100%. I tell everybody all the time, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, I'm an American. And I'm gonna vote for the right person, whoever I think that right person may be. I think the local community or local state or local, you know, the mayor and all that other stuff, getting out and vote and learning a little bit about what's going on in your community, I think is important, because it's about the future of our kids. It's a future of my grandkids. You know, I've got 5 great grandbabies now. It's a future of my grandkids. I want to make sure that they're taken care of. And I just want to sit back and argue about anything. I want things to be good for them. And I want them to live the American dream. That's for sure. You know, sir, this is, as always, it's been a great discussion. Talking to you is always fun for me because I get a lot out of it. You put a lot of great information out for our veterans and families. So I just really appreciate all that you do and all you continue to do. Any final thoughts, anything that you want to share with the audience or maybe we missed?
We spent the bulk of our conversation on benefits. So I did write a book about it in an effort to explain it to folks. So if there's an opportunity for somebody to, you know,
I do have a copy of the book. I was going to bring it out, but you jumped me. You beat me to the punch.
Oh, thank you so much. And so it's on Amazon for less than $20, and chances are you can find a benefit in there that's well worth more than $20. And seriously, for older veterans in your life, even in your neighborhood, your ecosystem, who didn't have all the explanation and all the information that people get now, it can also be a good gift for them.
Yeah. You want to talk about, do you want to talk a little bit about what's in the book? I'm sure they know what's in the book, but is there anything you want to talk about the book?
Sure. No, I cover all the benefits. It's sort of like you mentioned earlier, all the benefits in one place, easy to read, explanation of what they are, how you apply. And there's an appendix with a whole bunch of information about the VSOs in the states about how to get help. And maybe the next edition I'll write about, your next mission, VCS, as a way people can get help. So
that's a great idea. I love it. All right, sir. Well, God bless you. And again, we're here for you. And thank you for what you do and continue to do for our veterans and families. And again, we got your back. If we can help you anytime, please let us know.
Thank you, Sergeant Major. Great to be with you again.
Thank you. Thanks again to Dr. Paul Lawrence for being with us today. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and you've been enjoying Your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for joining us. Log on to our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. I hope it's a good review, but if it's not, I guess I can take that. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And check out our job board in partnership with Recruit Military, where you can search for a job that's just right for you. Please go to our website to watch a short video that will help fine-tune your search, where you can create your own personal profile. You can follow me on all my personal social media pages, not that I'd ever say that, but Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Rumble. And if you like what we're doing, and I know that you do, with Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about all of our upcoming video podcasts. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Dr. Lawrence for joining us today. And you know what I got to say today, I mean, at the end of the show, I always give my final thoughts. The final thoughts are, understand your benefits. Learn about your benefits. Understand what you have to do. Make sure you prepare yourself to get out of the service. And remember, you're not by yourself. Never think you're alone. You got other people out there, other veterans, other people that are working with the Veterans Administration that want to help you. But make sure that you prepare yourself. I tell everybody all the time, 2 years out, start planning. Take your family with you. Take your spouse. Get down and understand what you need to do. And I guarantee you, you'll live a very happy life. And again, there's a lot of people that love you and want to help you just as much as I do. So thanks for watching. Thanks to Newmont Studios and, of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Vision, and USAA. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.